Hello, and welcome to episode 334 of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I am Doug, broadcasting from the lovely United States of America, and with me, the founder of Extra Features and broadcasting from the wintry cold north of Canada, Simon Watson.
Yeah, me and my igloo are doing great there, bud. Yeah, hey, I got my six-pack of beer and... You know, I went to Tim Horton at a double-double.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
Hey, bud, you know, I've been out and about all day shoveling the snow. You know, so I had my antenna, you know, had some snow on it, so I had to, like, get it off, eh? A bunch of hosers going by wanted to shovel my snow, but I said, no, that's me. I'm out and about. I'm going to do it. And it's weird, no, this, the guy came up from, like, down there where you are.
Yeah.
And he came up in shorts, goes, hey, it's summer. I said, no, man, this is, we're in Canada. There's no summer here, boy.
So God, I wish that was the case.
I sold him some pants. So I sold him some snow, and I sold him a snowmobile, eh?
So nice.
Car got stuck in the snow. So I told him to go down to Timmy's, man, to have some good donuts, warm up, put some pants on, take the snowmobile, and go some skiing, because we all ski in July up here, eh?
Yes, and with the moose, right?
Oh, the moose. Yeah, the moose make the maple syrup. You've had moose maple syrup, right, down there? We sent it down to this Costco thing. I don't know what it is. We don't have Costco here. We have Moose Stop, but not Costco. You know, I've been to Saskatoon lately. You've been to Saskatoon, eh?
I have not. I've only been to Toronto.
Never heard of Toronto. We don't talk to them. Those people are nuts, too nuts. They like wear shorts in the winter down there. Oh, look at me. I'm Saskatoon. We don't have time for those city slickers.
Nice. God, I wish that was true. It's way too hot this summer. But
oh, you don't want me to talk in my Canadian accent for you anymore?
You can. If you do the whole episode like that.
I probably could.
I want to hear your Deadpool and Wolverine review from a Canadian. Yes.
Yeah, I will. Well, Ryan Reynolds is Canadian.
Well, yes.
Oh, he thinks he is.
And Wolverine, the character, is Canadian.
Yeah, he was in Alberta. He fought Wendigo in Alberta.
Yes.
Just down from Saskatoon, where I am.
Nice. So you got to watch out for them Wendigos up there then.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the Wendigos. Now, do you even know where Saskatoon is?
I do not. I assume it's on the East Coast. If it's not, it's a West Coast. Is it in the middle then?
In the middle.
Okay. I had three shots and I whiffed on.
It's right in the middle. It's kind of like, I don't know what it would. Is Idaho in the middle? Pennsylvania in the middle? No, Pennsylvania's
more east.
Chicago's in the middle?
Yes, Chicago's in the middle.
So if you go up to Chicago, I think you hit Minnesota's below Alberta, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, then Montana's next. I think it's Montana probably will hit Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Whatever the hell that is. I don't know. I've never been there. You guys got dumb and made too many states.
Yeah, there are too many.
Too many states. I can't be bothered to learn them all. So today was the day we had to help my sister clean out her house.
Okay.
Sister-in-law. All day, buddy. Just all day is what I've been doing.
Is she moving or?
No. She just had a lot of stuff that needed to go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I wish she was moving. No, it's fine. I like my sister-in-law just fine. Just meant there was a lot of stuff that. So that was delayed. But I have a great story coming for the end of the show if you guys want to wait.
Ooh.
But you got to wait for it, because what Simon bought, it's going to be funny.
Foreshadowing. I like it.
It is foreshadowing. Now, the big point here, Doug, you know, you've had a big break. Are you all set for the summer? Like, you're complaining to me. You're in Jersey. How hot can it be in Jersey? It's a big lake beside you.
It's been over 90 degrees for about... Yeah. 2 months now, so.
You know, hey, we don't use that in those degrees, hey? We don't know what that is. Is that like hot, hey?
Yeah, it's hot. So I guess, so that's.
Minus 32 divide by 2.
Okay, so like it's been hot. It's been hot. Same I'll just say that.
Same as yeah. here. And really, if you want, if you forget about the snow, we're equal. Yeah, we're about the same. So I have good news for my American listeners. I was in your fine country 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I assume.
Nowhere near Dodge.
The Buffalo absolutely. Area.
No, I was not in Buffalo.
Oh, you weren't? I think I we talked about this last time.
Fort Dick or Fort something. Someplace in Watertown, New York.
Okay.
So I was there and I went to my favorite place. The Olive Garden.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
For $10, I got all I could eat breadsticks and all I could eat soup. That's all I wanted.
Nice.
So and a drink was like $14, about $25 in my money, but I was happy.
Well, I'm glad.
And I got I got a wonderful shirt I'm not wearing, and I picked up some blueberry protein pancake mix, which made me happy.
Okay.
So thank you, America.
Last weekend, I got to see the play The Prom 4 times because Owen was performing in it. So
no pass.
So that was my weekend.
I'm glad you enjoyed The Prom.
I didn't say I enjoyed it. I said I saw it.
I've seen the movie and didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, but you know, Owen is now. They've asked him for his opinion on what show they should do next year. So he'll now have a say. He wants to do Spring Awakening.
I have no idea what that even is.
Yeah, a show I don't know anything about, but he says it's dark. He says it's a dark show. Yes.
Is there a part for me?
Maybe. Can you sing?
I'm terrible, but my daughter can.
Okay, that same with me. I cannot sing at all, but both my sons can. So,
oh, good for them. Well, no, I have one daughter in the school choir and one goes to school for singing.
Okay,
my other daughter, let's just say I think she found her chosen path in dance.
Okay,
because that's fine. She was. Because I know my kids listen to my show, so I kind of got to be a little careful in what I say occasionally.
She has a creative outlet, and that's great.
Yeah. So, Doug, did you have a creative outlet going to the movies this week?
I do have some opinions on some of the movies that we have chosen to discuss, and I guess we could start with the big one right now.
Oh. I thought we were doing Safe Men first. Oh, okay.
No, that one's last. Our first discussion will be on Deadpool and Wolverine, directed by Sean Levy, starring Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. I'm not listing off 30 cameos because I just don't feel like it.
Come on. There was no Stan Lee cameo, though.
There was.
I missed it.
It was on the bus at the end. The bus had
had a
advertisement for Stanley Steamers.
Oh, that
was the Stanley reference for the movie.
Okay, I guess I should start here because I'm sure you're going to swaddle me afterwards, but it's okay.
Okay.
I'll take it. I think this movie was good at times and terrible at other times.
Okay.
I thought the beginning was great. The whole setup, phenomenal. TVA showing up, phenomenal. Then I started having problems after the first 20 minutes. I got bored. I'm like, let's go. Oh, let's have a song. Let's do something during the song. I'm like, oh, okay. That'll be it. There'll be no more songs. Nope. Let's start another song. I'm like, oh. Let's go do something again. I'm like, oh, great. We're going to do something again. So far, we don't have a villain, do we? Nope. We're just going to keep doing this. Then the third song started. I'm like, I'm done. I'm finished. I don't want to hear any more stupid songs. I don't care anymore. I don't care about all the stupid Wolverines he's meeting. I don't care about all the stupid cameos now. Now I'm just annoyed. Because I don't find this interesting. I find it's just a short film upon a short film upon a short film upon a short film. To the point, I was getting annoyed at the cameos.
Okay.
Everybody was happy about them but me. I'm like, I don't care. Enough. Enough of the cameos. Let's get back to the movie. All right. We're going to go beat up the Professor X. I don't care about this Professor X. I have no interest in this Professor X. Oh, we got to the end of the movie. Let's play Like a Prayer. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Okay. Like the end of the movie. That was cool. Oh, by the way, did you say we're going to spoil movies? Because I'm about to spoil the end of this movie.
Yeah, spoil. Warning, we are spoiling. Okay. It's hard to talk about this movie without spoilers.
So I'm getting to the end of the movie. And it was fantastic. The last 20 minutes, friggin' loved it. I like when he put his lid on him. Wolverine put the lid on. That was good. I liked all the Deadpool showing up. That was fun. But I'm like, do I care about this in any way? I'm like, I never watch it again. I don't really want to go through and find all the cameos I missed. I did like the Chris Evans joke. I thought that one worked immensely. Wait, okay. Wasn't it a Human Torch? I couldn't stop laughing. I thought that was a good joke. But I really felt they were like making one of those bowls now. You see them on TikToks. And Doug pours in something. And Simon pours in something. And then Owen pours in something. Then that's what this film felt like. I felt like a bunch of cooks hoping one of those things would be funny. Mm-hmm. And if we kept returning to it, I would actually laugh. I'm like, this does not make a good movie to me, though. It makes a good bunch of little short movies. And I'm sure people are going to look at me and slap me in the face, swallow me up, and go back in the closet, Simon. This is a good movie. My problem is, people, this is not a good movie. It's a good short little films here and there. Fabulous idea. It does not mean they all together make sense and are good.
All right. This will shock you.
You loved it.
No, I'm pretty much in exact agreement with you. big apologies to Kevin, because I'm sure Kevin will love this movie. To me, this was homework the movie.
Yes.
The more I think about this movie, the less I like it. I like the opening. I like the opening fight scene. I thought that was good. I like the dancing. I like the meeting the different Wolverine variants. Because we're like, oh, that's from that comic. That's from that comic. That was cool to me. But then it kept going. I call it homework the movie because it is. It's all these Fox movies that all of a sudden we have to give a shit now after not giving a shit about them for over two decades. Why do I care about Elektra? I thought that was the die. If Jennifer Garner was playing her Peppermint character, I would have liked it more. I liked Peppermint more than Elektra. The only cameo that I thought was cool and surprising to me was Wesley Snipes as Blade. And honestly, he didn't even do any cool Blade shit. He didn't have his big sword. He didn't stab anybody in the heart. He threw the thing that, you know, spins around the room and slices necks. He did that once, but that was it. And I will be honest here. Wolverine with the mask on looked ridiculous to me. I thought it looked so stupid with the white eyes. It took me out of the movie. I did not like that look at all. I gave this 2 out of 5. It did have moments. Yeah. I mean, I like the opening. I like the Wolverine scene. Some of the jokes worked, but that's only because there were thousands of jokes and some of them have to land. But all in all, I just the more I think about this, the less and less I like it. So maybe my 2 will change to a 1.5, but it's already gone down from a 3 to a 2.5 to a 2 right now. So I'm giving it a 2.
I can't believe we have the same score. That is really weird. Well, I want to go back a bit. Okay. I was looking at Wesley Snipes going, is that Wesley Snipes? And when Channing Tatum showed up, I'm going, I think that's Channing Tatum. When I was getting to the point going, you're right, homework. Who is that? Oh, that's Henry Cavill. Oh, that's Harry Potter or whatever. I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. I'm spending more time paying attention to who's popping in than what's going on in the movie.
Yes. And, okay, if you've watched season 2 of Loki, this is a spoiler for that show. Why is this movie even happening? I thought the end of season 2 of Loki was Loki saving all the timelines through his god powers. And so why is Deadpool's timeline dying to begin with? Unless Mr. Paradox was lying to him just to get him to be a useful tool, but we're never shown any indication that Paradox was lying to Deadpool. I don't know. I just, the movie, thinking about it, just makes less and less sense to me.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Yes.
I am shocked that Doug agrees with me on this one.
And honestly,
your kids didn't like this either?
No.
Oh, I'm feeling better all the time.
They're getting sick of Ryan Reynolds' antics.
Just me that wants to punch him in the face.
They want to see, and I agree with them, we all just want to see Ryan Reynolds act, not just play the same character every single time.
But the problem is, this is my Ryan Reynolds issue. He can't act.
I think he can. If you go, have you ever seen the movie, I forget if it's The Voices or just Voices?
Yes, Voices.
Yes, I thought that was good. I thought he was good in it. So I do think Ryan Reynolds can act. I just think when he acts, it doesn't pay as well as when he plays Ryan Reynolds or plays Deadpool.
Got a story for you about Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Going through my index cards, before I got 8x10s, I just get index cards of everybody on film sets. I have a file card that says, "To Simon, thanks for spending the day with me, Ryan Reynolds." So I met Ryan Reynolds when he was nobody.
Nice.
Because I have no recollection of this. I keep thinking of framing with a Deadpool behind me with a thing. But I thought it was weird. It's a beautiful handwritten Ryan Reynolds, like, spending the day with me inside. That's when Ryan Reynolds was nobody.
So like back in the two guys, a girl, and the pizza place days?
Before that,
okay.
He must have been on a Canadian film set for something.
Nice.
So maybe one day I'll bring it on the show and show you, and maybe I'll put a video up, who knows. Okay, we both hated Deadpool Wolverine, I'm shocked.
Yes. All right.
I'm shocked.
So now we have another big movie of the year.
No, we don't.
Well.
Safe Man?
Bigot. No, Twisters. Twisters, directed by Lee Isaac Chung, starring Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones, and Anthony Ramos. Since you started with Deadpool, I could start with Twisters. I was not a big fan of the original Twister. I thought it was fine, but nothing spectacular. I think my favorite part of that movie was Philip Seymour Hoffman. But this one, it was fine. I'm not sure I agree with the big Steven Spielberg edict about the movie. His big edict was, you know, they can't kiss in the movie. I kind of felt like they should have kissed. I think, you know, if I heard somebody talking about this film and saying, you know, if they had ended the film with the line, you know, if you want it, chase it, that would have been fantastic. Instead, there was a whole other scene after that when they're in the airport. And yeah, I think if you're going to go on after, if you want it, chase it, you gotta have them kiss at the end. The special effects were fine. I was actually disappointed that it doesn't have a big connection to the original. I thought for sure Daisy Edgar Jones would be the daughter of Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton or something like that. but that just isn't the case in this film. It was fine for what it is. It's a big blockbuster spectacle to watch, but I think I gave this a 2.5 out of 5. It's right down the middle. It won't offend you, but you're not going to be talking about it weeks later.
I feel Twisters is so doesn't take any chances. I feel let's take grandma to the movies because she needs something, a little bit of excitement in her life. And it plays so tame, this movie. Beautiful Twisters. Yes. Let's give this thing credit. Absolutely phenomenal CGI.
Yes.
I love it. Glenn Powell shows you why he's a movie star in this movie. He looks good. That's what he's supposed to do. But my problem is they have nothing to do. They drive around, there's cool trucks, and they have a romance movie. And I'm like, this is not Twisters. I saw the original. It had a little bit of suspense. I bought the Bill Pullman, Helen Hunt. I didn't buy this relationship. I'm like, okay, we're going to hang out. Oh, there's Maura Tierney. Yeah, I love Maura Tierney. Yeah. Oh, let's put some more CGI Twisters in. I couldn't care less. I watched this. Just sat there going, yeah. Nope. This looks like just Hollywood crap. Like, it would be when I go to the Blockbuster years ago, it would be 20, 45 copies of this on the wall. They'll all be gone.
Yes, yes.
Because it's Friday night, grandma needs a movie. And that's really what I feel. I thought the dialogue was plain. I don't know what I was expecting for a movie about Twisters, but I was hoping something.
I was disappointed because I liked the director, Lee Isaac Chung.
Or actually, which I don't know.
The only movie of his I've seen is Minari, but I thought Minari was fantastic. That's the so one why? That.
But there's no touches of Minari in this.
There really wasn't at all. And that. So I went in with higher expectations because of the director, but I left feeling, oh, wow, he just kind of took the Hollywood money, made the big Hollywood movie, and I guess maybe he's doing those one for them, one for me. So maybe the next movie he makes will be a more personal project that'll be really good again.
One can always hope so, but I don't see it in Twisters. I mean, all these characters could have got whipped up in the Twister, and I might have liked it better. I just thought it was just a dull, basic ending we saw coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty standard disaster movie.
Like, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm thinking of the older disaster movie, like Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno. Those actually had body counts. Those had, you know, big name actors who would get killed off in the movie. There really wasn't any of that here. It was safe.
There's body count at the beginning.
Yeah, but any big name actors? Any like
Paul Scheer? No, Paul Scheer doesn't get killed. He's at the end.
He lives. He's only in the end. But like I'm thinking, Shelley Winters in Poseidon Adventure. Yes. You don't expect her to die, but she does. There's nothing like that in this movie to me.
Nothing. Just blah. Take grandma the movie, show a little excitement. Guess what I saw, Betty? I saw Twisters. Yeah, Twisters is a big pass for me, too. Acting was dull. Glenn Powell looked good. Paul Scheer, there he is. Get some hair. Let's move along.
So are you ready to talk about some babes?
Yes.
Okay, Babes, directed by Pamela Adlon, starring Ilana Glazer and Michelle Buteo.
Yeah, I've been an Ilana Glazer fan for a long time. I think she does have comedy chops. And going into this film, I knew I was going to watch an indie. I wanted to see where it went. I wanted something different to watch. So I put this on the list for that reason. You know what? I kind of like this at times. But some of the jokes are pretty solid. I thought it kind of worked. I loved the relationship between her and her friend and the husband. I thought it was great. I thought the whole baby daddy thing was phenomenal. That worked for me.
Yes, yes.
And I thought the jokes were continuing. I mean, it has a little bit of, right near the end, I thought it slows down a little bit too much. But I thought everything leading up to that was great. And I thought the jokes kept coming. The scenarios worked. I like the shooting style a lot. It looks like they had low budget, but they used whatever they had well. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. She was a fitness instructor. I liked everything about this film. I just didn't love the film. That's if that fair. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good premise. I liked that the black actor got work. It wasn't just about Alana Glazer. It was more about her mm-hmm. and her issues, and her going back to work was funny. And I just like, you know what? This is a nice feel-good movie to me. Grandma can't yep. watch this one because that's some premarital sex you couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. I don't think Alana Glazer would have worked on Grandma here.
No.
But no, I think this film works on many levels. I think people should discover this and give independent cinema a try.
Yes.
I really think this is a nice independent film. I think it tells its story. It gets out. At least you're not wondering. I do like the end. I thought it was very cute. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of pleasantly happy with it.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing this. But again, I'm pretty much in agreement with you.
Are you okay?
It's a crazy episode. I don't know.
Like a towel?
My kids are down in North Carolina visiting my mom. So I don't have the kids around right now. So
that must
maybe
be
that's why. Yes. But, yeah, I mean, I love Pamela Adlon. I think she's a brilliant actress, and this being her feature debut, as director, I thought she nailed it. I mean, like you said, it's definitely low budget, but it does tell its story. She has her point of view that she gets across in the shot, in the shots, in the scenes. I mean, I love Alana Glazer too. I think she's very funny. I think my favorite thing was that the guy died from was it an almond or a walnut or some kind of nut? And that just, I don't know. That worked for me.
I like that went to see the movie in some crappy cinema.
Yes. I also like the Omen stuff. I loved all the stuff with the Omen.
I was going to go to the Omen later, yes.
Yes. Just the kid's scaring the nanny now because he's starting to act like Damien from the Omen. I thought that was great.
I like the Lucas. Do you know the Lucas brothers, who they are?
Are they twins?
They are twins, and they're okay, in 21 Jump Street, the first 21 Jump Street movie they're
yes,
in.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have met them, too. They're very nice. But I like that they go, oh, if I die, they would be my whatever to call. Mm-hmm. And they call her. I thought that joke worked very well for me.
Yeah, this was a really good movie. I would give this one a 3.5 out of 5.
I think I gave it a solid 2.5, but that's, for me, it's pretty good. Now, I have a question. When I put this on the list, where you're like, what's he thinking?
Honestly,
you know what I like?
Honestly, at first I watched that documentary Bratz by accident. I know you did. I thought you had meant to put Bratz.
No.
Because we had discussed that. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, no, there actually is a movie called Babes. And then I watched, and I liked it. Because
I want you to know, I love independent cinema, as you guys know, because we do it. So every once in a while, I feel like I'm going to mix it up. Give you something out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was on there. Just because it was, I read about it and said it was good. So I'm like, I'll try it out.
Yeah.
Usually they're not.
It wasn't, I wouldn't qualify it as a romantic comedy. So I'm
good.
Oh,
it's very close.
Close, but I wouldn't call it. It's not that Glenn Powell movie from last year, Anyone But You. It's not that kind of romantic comedy.
No, definitely not.
So I'm fine with it.
Okay.
All right. And now this
on
one
with
could
the show.
Lead to a discussion.
Uh-oh.
Long Legs, directed by Osgood Perkins, starring Micah Monroe, Nicolas Cage, Alicia Witt, and Blair Underwood.
Tour lead.
Yes. I'm looking at my notes here because I watched this a few weeks ago. This one, it's been in my mind for a while now. Sometimes I think it's like this 5-star masterpiece. Sometimes I think it's just 3-star, middle of the road. So I'm guessing it's actually probably somewhere in between. So I'll give it a 4 right now. First of all, I don't think Nicolas Cage is as scary or as captivating as a lot of people think he is. I think that the performance in this movie that really got me was Alicia Witt.
Yeah.
I thought she was absolutely fantastic in this movie. I've liked her for a while, but I haven't really seen her recently get a role like this that she could sink her teeth into and just kind of lose herself into the character. I thought she was absolutely wonderful. I didn't particularly find this movie scary. I know some people are saying it's the scariest movie in years. I'm actually less afraid of paranormal stories. I think it would have been a lot creepier without the paranormal aspects, where it's just a human doing these awful things to people. But I guess in this case, it had to be paranormal because it's Satan. It takes place in the end of the big satanic panic. I'm kind of in between on this movie. I sometimes I love it, sometimes I don't. So I'm giving it a 4.
Oh boy, here it goes.
All right, so the first one we disagree on. Okay.
We're going to have a disagreement right here. I think this is 2/3 of a good movie. 2/3. I have a huge problem with the third act.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it at all. I love Alicia Witt. She definitely took me, I'm like, is that Alicia Witt? Really? Okay, I'll give it to you. I just think it was setting us one way and then trying to flip us at the end. Okay. And I kind of went, I don't care. I found they got away from that creepiness by the end. They tried to shock me, and it didn't shock me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that the shots were perfect, really close and tight. And constantly I was feeling, oh, God, I don't like this feeling. When I got to the end, I'm like, I wanted more. I just felt it ran out of steam by the end. They went in a different direction of the film.
Okay.
I mean, Nicolas Cage, I heard, was kooky bananas 10. I'm like, he's like a 4. He wasn't that kooky bananas in this. I thought Alicia Witt was a solid 10, kooky bananas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted more for the third act. I liked the shot style. I thought the world was working for me. I just wanted more out of the last. It fell apart for me in the third act. It really just fell apart in the last 10 minutes.
I was on board. Would you say from the moment she wakes up in his bed?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted more from that. I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I think it's just getting dumb now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was disappointed with the end. I'm just being honest with you. I just thought, I don't care.
I did read, I forget where, I might have been Reddit. So it's not actually a professional reviewer saying this. But it's a theory I like, that this movie is actually about child sexual assault.
It could be. I totally give you that.
That it was in the 90s because, you know, you have the Bill Clinton face behind Blair Underwood because, you know, he's a known, I guess, sexual assaulter.
Is he?
I know he's a known philanderer. Yes. Accused assaulter. I don't know if it's been proven he's assaulted anybody, but I'm just going based on this theory I read. And that the father saying, you know, I can only do it when she's not looking at me. It's harder when her eyes are on me. That led the person to believe it's, you know, child sexual assault. And
I agree with that.
I kind of like that theory. I think that would make the movie scarier for me. But I honestly don't think that's what Osgood Perkins had in his head. I think he really did.
That too.
I think he really did just wanted to tell a Satanist story.
I don't know. I just Mike and Monroe was fine. I don't want anybody to think it was just fine. I didn't think she was amazing. Blair Underwood did what he was supposed to. Nicolas Cage plays Nicolas Cage. Alicia Witt, best ever. Excellent. But again, I wanted more out of this story. I felt I was getting spoon-fed a lot of the time. Here's a little bit. You know, let's type on the computer, find something out. Blair Underwood says something. Oh, there's a little bit more. I wanted a little bit more investigation, a little bit more movement of the character, as opposed to sitting there half the time.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I think maybe it's just the aesthetic worked better for me than it did you. I just enjoyed it more.
Fair enough.
Okay. Our next film on this list.
Oh, I thought we were done.
We have four to go.
Oh, I'm done.
Including Safe Men.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm excited.
but our next film is MoviePass Movie Crash, directed by Matua Ali Muhammad.
I think that's you.
I wish. I mean, I'd love to have a documentary on HBO, but I did not put any actors down in this because
there it's are a
documentary.
None.
Yes.
See, I picked a documentary. See how good I am.
Yes.
Did you know this existed?
I did not. I will be honest. Yes. I had no idea that this existed.
I'm so excited now you did know.
I guess I'll start here. I never got into MoviePass. I thought it was too good to be true. And apparently it was. Although now I do wish that I had gotten into it back when it first came out. Just because it did work for a while, but then it stopped. Probably the biggest thing that I took away from this documentary is the racism. The fact that the company was started by two black men and they were forced out in favor of incredibly mediocre white men. It shouldn't shock me, but it did. It mostly did because I had no idea black men started MoviePass, that they were the founders. So, yeah. There's not really much I could say about this, it other than I learned that bit of information, and seeing these types of documentaries over and over again, be it Firefest, just white dudes trying to make it rich quick, it doesn't shock me anymore. Of course these businesses are going to fail because of poor planning, poor running of the business. It just doesn't shock me anymore. I think I gave this documentary a 2. It just didn't. It didn't offer anything new or insightful to me.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
I knew about MoviePass up in Canada because, you know, the Igloo got some letters about MoviePass. Eh? I just was interested in how the concept worked. Because, I mean, I could never figure out how they could make money when I read about it. So I liked the discussion at the beginning. It made sense to me. Too good to be true. If we didn't have it up here, I would have signed up. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed, I would have done it. I just liked the concept. I think it would have worked. I really think there was a good concept beside this. Okay. I think when they brought in those new guys, they screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they understood the vision. Because it looked like if they introduced advertising on it or something, like now to use the app to pick your movie, they would put advertising on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have worked, or made you watch a video to get to your movie. And then that would have worked. And I think that's how they would have made the money to pay for the movies. And I think that was the biggest problem is they didn't know how to make money.
Right.
The idea was sound. They had no money coming in, and I understand that. I apologize, people. I'm coughing. That's why we're getting a little bit of dead air. I don't want you guys to hear that. Yes, I am taking medicine for it. I think if these guys had a chance to let it grow and maybe worked on something, it would have worked. They just had to couple with something. Now I think it would work no problem.
Well, that was one thing at the end. The one guy who founded MoviePass is starting again, has a new MoviePass. So maybe you're right. Maybe something good will come of it. But I think.
But does that new MoviePass exist yet? No.
No, not yet. I don't think so. But they said he's working on it. I think it's a toxic name now. I think it is too.
I'll think of a new name. But what pissed me off, they were discussing the carts. I never knew that. I didn't understand. That's the part I never understood how it worked. Mm-hmm. Like, I heard people talk about cards, but I'd never seen one. When they showed them, like, I want one for my wall. I would totally put a MoviePass card on my wall.
Yeah. I guess they were like credit cards. You just swipe them at the movie theater. Like, I had no idea how, like I said, I was always, I thought it was too good to be true. I thought there's no way this could work. Apparently I was wrong for a little while, but then in the long run, I ended up being right. I do wish I had tried it at least.
What upset me, these executives took advantage of where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that pissed me off because I really felt these two guys deserved a shot at what they were trying to achieve. They fail. That's fine. But I think they had a shot. But these executives came in, the white saviors, and just screwed everything up.
And pushed them out, yeah.
And I was pissed off about that immensely. And I'm like, you say compared to Fyre, I would disagree because I think this was a real legit company. Fyre Festival was always going to be a burn. They were just going for the money. This, I think they really wanted it to work.
Yes, but then once the new white guys came in, it became a Fyre Fest. It was they
absolutely
just wanted the money.
Absolutely.
That was my comparison point.
Okay, I agree with you on that. But I mean, for me being a Canadian and watching something on something I couldn't have, it's like me going to the Olive Garden. I can have Olive Garden whenever I want. You can open the front door and drive 20 minutes to be in an Olive Garden, probably.
Less. I have one right down the street for me. So.
Well, okay, but you know what I'm saying. So for me, yes. It's a treat. So for me to learn about MoviePass, which is something I read about and had no access to, I was fascinated by this.
Okay.
Because Canada, this doesn't exist. There was nothing like this. So I'm not saying it's good. Now, I don't want people to go, oh, you got to watch. No. If you're interested in MoviePass, this does it all for you. It lays everything out. And I agree. It's about a 2.5 film, I think, I gave it. Because, I mean, it's a basic documentary. It's a lot of talking heads. Mm-hmm. It explains to you everything, and it ends up. And I just came out of this film going, how are these two not in jail?
Yeah. Yeah. The charge is still pending, so.
Oh, they need to go. Like, come on. They obviously ripped these people off. I think that was very evident by the end.
Yes.
And it just teaches me something. If you own a company, be very careful who you let in.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so bad for these two guys by the end of it.
Yeah, because when they were let go, they couldn't option their stocks, and it was still worth millions at that point.
Exactly.
But then a year later, it was nothing.
Exactly. I felt terrible. So move on, people. If you're interested in MoviePass, just watch it. It's a good hour and a half watch. You're in, out, gone.
All right. Our next film is The Guns of Navarone from 1961, directed by J. Lee Thompson, starring Gregory Peck, David Niven, and Anthony Quinn.
My turn? I can't remember. It was weird. Okay. So this is one of my garage sale finds, which I tell you guys on the show every time I buy stuff. And I was talking to a buddy of mine. He's like, you've never seen that? I said, no. He goes, you need to watch it. I'm like, okay. So I put it on. I'm like, I watched about half and then went to the gym, came home and I had to finish it. I'm like, you know what? This is perfect. This is Dirty Dozen, any of those 60s war films. This is it. Just another 60s, let's get the team together war film. But I liked it. I liked the acting a lot. I love Gregory Peck and David Spade's bickering. Worked David perfectly Niven. For me. Sorry, David Spade. David Niven's banter was perfect, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I love Anthony Quinn. I thought he played his character excellent.
Yes.
And
he,
I like how
it was probably my favorite.
and everything moved, I thought, for a bit. They didn't really sit still. They always had something going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really neat. I didn't like the little twist. I thought that was weak. I thought you kind of saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
End of the film, I quite enjoyed. And then I phoned a friend of mine. Said he goes, what did you think of the film? I said, you know what? That was everything I did. I loved it. I liked the scenery. I liked the action. I liked the script. It was fun. Not amazing, but fun. He goes, you know, that's all made up. I went, pardon? He goes, all made up. The whole thing. I said, really? He goes, hell yeah. All they did was bring in two bombers, hit the guns, and out. That was the whole film. Like, so why did they make this film and put this credit at the beginning, thanking the Greek government and the people? I'm like, none of this happened. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know I'm watching a movie. I thought maybe it was two guys that kind of stuck in and did it. Nope, none of that happened. So I'm like, okay, I give them full credit. They had me fooled off the beginning.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the film. I think it has good dialogue, good scenery. The action's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you like Dirty Dozen, I say watch this.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
And that one we did last week, Kevin's movie, Kelly's Heroes, same kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was going to say, I actually got did you see the Guy Ritchie movie from this year, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
I did.
Watching this, I was like, oh, Guy Ritchie saw this movie. I especially got that idea with the boat scene. Both movies had a scene where the Nazis come aboard a boat and the good guys wipe out the Nazis just incredibly easily and blow up the boat. Like, watching that scene, I was like, oh, Guy Ritchie had to have seen this movie at some point and based that on here. So yeah, that for some reason, like you said, yes, Dirty Dozen. I love the Dirty Dozen, but my point of reference for this was Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. But I just find Gregory Peck to be much more charismatic and enjoyable to watch than Henry Cavill.
I'm just gonna
be honest with that. But yeah, I actually loved Anthony Quinn in this movie.
So did I.
I loved the scene where they get ambushed by the Nazis and he's like begging for his life. And I loved it.
That scene was great.
Yeah. This movie was fantastic. I can't believe it's taken me this long to watch it just because I do love The Dirty Dozen. I think that's one of my – it's probably in my top 20 movies of all time. Just I love that. I love men on a mission film, and that's what this is, and I really enjoyed it.
I like the scene when you find out David Niven talks to the other guy and the Spanish guy. No, Italian guy. And he goes, hey, you have a mustache. He goes, pick the right clothes. I thought that was great. I thought it was a great line. So David Niven, like I said, this film works. It's fun, enjoyable. And it just keeps cementing how much I like Gregory Peck. Can this man do any wrong? I've not seen a film I haven't liked him in.
No, that's true. I haven't seen everything he's done, but he is... He's up there with now I'm blanking on his name.
Paul Newman?
No, Philadelphia Story. What's his name?
James Stewart? The other one. Cary Grant.
Yes, Cary Grant.
Well, I think I've seen pretty close to 95% of Cary Grant's films.
Not many, I
haven't seen.
He's one who I think never misses Cary Grant.
I agree. Fabulous.
Thank you for picking this. It finally made me watch it, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, a quick story so people know the background of how I found this. I'm at a garage sale at a church sale, big church sale they have every year. I'm there. My buddy of mine is north of me about 20 minutes in Brooklyn, which is a 20-minute drive for me at least. I go, if you find a big DVD score, tell me. So he calls me up and goes, one place, here's the address, you'll love it. So I go drive. So I leave where I'm going and drive up there. And then, of course, starts pouring rain. on the way up. I'm like, oh, crap. So I get there, and they have everything inside the garage. I'm like, oh, you haven't packed up? They're like, no, come on in. And that's where I found it. So the guy had a stack of war movies. So if you see more war movies, it probably came from that collection.
Okay.
So that's the quick story. There's nothing more to it than that. And everybody told me to watch Guns of Navarone. All my friends couldn't believe I hadn't seen it. So that's why I got picked.
Now we have to watch the sequel, Force 10 from Navarone.
If I can find it.
That one, I think, has Harrison Ford in it.
So like it's new.
No, it's a young Harrison Ford. It might have been made in the 80s.
So there your might list be a is 20 next, year. Feel free.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to put it on?
Like you said, I have to find it. I have to see if I could find it.
I probably could find it. Well, I'll have to look. I never even heard it existed, so.
Okay. All right. Well, our next movie is Godzilla Tokyo SOS, directed by Masaki Tezuka.
Tezuka!
I guess it's my turn to start. This movie was just bizarre to me.
Yep.
There was a line in this movie by one of the, I guess, scientists or head guys in Japan saying, judging by the wound, it's the same Godzilla. So I guess as the previous movie, my question is, how many Godzillas are there if they think it's the... Do they think there's multiple Godzillas running around?
100% they have. They've proven that.
Really?
I think, because remember, we have Godzuki.
Okay.
And we have Godzilla, and they don't know if there's more than one. They think there is.
Okay.
You get that from watching the movies, that they think there's more than one.
So that
line is yet to be proven. We have yet to see two.
Okay. But, let me see. Aside from that, I mean, this is a very basic kaiju fighting movie. If that's what you like, by all means, watch this film. The one thing that really stuck out to me was the score. I thought the score had a very John Williams, Steven Spielberg feel to it. Like they were going for that more majestic, be it E.T. or Jurassic Park or whatever, that they were going for that rousing John Williams music. And I don't think it always fit with what was going on screen, but the music was good. Just another in a long line of mediocre Godzilla movies.
Well, Godzilla liked it mediocre. I'd say crap. I think this is just a way to bring back the fairies. We haven't seen the fairies in movies now.
Yes.
So they brought that. They seem to be in love with Mechagodzilla. Like, in love with Mechagodzilla. So now they got him. And I'm like, is there a point to this? Throw Godzilla's bones in the water. I don't care anymore. We have two left. Three left. Well, we're going to do shit. And it's going to be the last one. So we have three left.
Okay.
I'm just at the point going, guys, these are terrible. Who is writing this? Some guy out of college that needs $50? Like, they're maybe bad. The acting's bad. The storylines make literally no sense.
That is true. Yes.
I'm getting to the point where I don't understand these anymore, guys. I've watched so many of these. This makes no sense. Okay, we need Mechagodzilla. We need Godzilla. And we need Rodan or whatever. I think it's Rodan.
Mothra.
Okay, we've had all these guys 100 times now. You guys are done. I think the ideas is a problem. They have no more new ideas. So they're just making them up as they go. Like, oh, Doug. Hey, Doug's got a script. Put some Godzilla in that. Oh, yeah, we got Mechagodzilla still sitting on the dock. Throw him in. Oh, and you know what? The twins are in town this year. Let's throw them in too.
Hey, as long as there's really no aliens. I don't like it when they bring the aliens in.
I think this franchise is running itself into the ground. I think we have one or two left, like I said. We're getting very close to the end. I just think they ran out of ideas by this point. I think that you can just see they have nothing. Like, I don't even know what they're doing anymore. I'm like, I used to enjoy these. They actually had a storyline for the most part. Now I'm just like, these are terrible. I think they're for 5-year-olds.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that's what Godzilla has been maybe not 5-year-olds, but definitely
10-year-olds.
A kid's character, yeah.
I think they're going after that kid's audience. And, you know, parents need to drop them off to babysit, mm-hmm. and they go see this film. And I mean, you're like, okay, they're done. They, oh, I saw Godzilla. I saw Mothra. I saw Mega. Yay! Mm-hmm. So they go home. And they don't remember anything because there's nothing to remember by it.
Yeah, I mean, not all Godzilla movies could be as good as Godzilla Minus One.
Nope, that's the best one ever, though.
Yes.
Okay. Time for Safe Men?
Yes. Our last film of the episode is Safe Men, directed by John Hamburg, starring Sam Rockwell, Steve Zahn, and Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I just want people to know, I sent Doug a Doug's Choice, which I try to do every episode I pick. Give Doug 3 movies. Doug did pick another movie. I could not find it. So I sent Doug another list, leaving the original 2 movies and this movie. So my question is, did you hate those other 2 movies that much?
No. The thing is, in my head, I got this movie confused with Matchstick Men, which is a con artist movie that also has Sam Rockwell in it that I hadn't seen. I hadn't seen that one. And I was like, oh, I've heard it's really directed by Ridley Scott. I heard it's really good. That's a good way to watch it. And then after I had picked this, I was like, oh, wait, no, this is the Steve Zahn movie from the 90s. Okay. So that was my thinking.
Matchstick Men is great.
I actually watched that last night. And yes, I like Matchstick Men a lot.
Safe Men is exactly what we expect for the 90s in a crappy direct-to-video. I don't think this got a theatrical release. I don't think it could have. It was terrible. Had some jokes. They try hard. Mm-hmm. But it just never seems to. The cast is great, though. Rockwell, Zahn, Michael Lerner, who I love. Mm-hmm. This film just doesn't go anywhere. It's like they recycle the joke over and over and over and over. I'm like, guys, do something with this cast. You have a brilliant cast. Mm-hmm. You have a decent premise, but you just recycle the same safe joke over and over and over again. I don't understand how this film got made, to be honest with you.
I think somebody went to an executive and said, okay, this is Some Like It Hot, but by Quentin Tarantino.
Fair enough. And
it's not as good as either of those things.
Good. Yeah. On the same page.
Yeah. I think the premise sounds great.
It does.
And you get the Steve Zahn and Sam Rockwell as the leads. That's wonderful casting. I love that. But this was the 90s when everybody thought they could be Tarantino. As much as I'm not a fan of Quentin Tarantino, I do realize that he is a unique talent unto himself, and not everybody can do what he does. And this movie just proves it. And yes, I did out myself as saying I'm not a big Quentin Tarantino fan, but
I'm so glad I'm not in the room with you right now. We would be having problems. Well, I agree with you. I think the concept is here, like I said, but it just wasn't interesting. Mm-hmm. They don't do anything interesting. I don't even know why Steve Zahn has a career, to be honest with you. I can't think of a good Steve Zahn. What's a good Steve Zahn movie then?
The first thing I saw him in, That Thing You Do, I thought he was good in that.
Which I've never seen.
There was that movie. Oh, what is the name of that movie? With Timothy Oliphant and him.
Wait, Timothy Oliphant's in it, so that tells me it's good.
I love Timothy Oliphant.
We all do. But that's my argument with this movie. Sam Rockwell is so good in this, though. I think Sam Rockwell does a marvelous job as the character he is. He's good. But just the script is failing him miserably every time he turns. Oh, we forgot one character in this movie. The Mark Ruffalo scene, they ripped off Say Anything.
I forgot Mark Ruffalo was in this.
They totally rip off Say Anything in this film. Did you forget about that scene?
I did forget about
that. And it's Say Anything scene with John Cusack. It's almost the same thing. And they try to make it funny. And it was funny. It was an early Mark Ruffalo appearance we forgot about. And I mean, he's in this maybe 10 minutes.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I would tell you to watch Safe Men, but it's not good.
Let me see. I'm just looking through Steve Zahn's.
Still waiting there.
We got Out of Sight. He was great in Out of Sight.
That's a Soderbergh film. That's not him.
Yeah, but he was still good in it.
I don't remember that.
The TV show Tremé. I thought never he was very it. Good in that.
TV doesn't count. It's a movie podcast.
Okay, and I just can't find that.
A
Perfect Getaway. That's what it was called.
Are you talking about the one with the chick from Resident Evil?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a decent film. I'll give it to you. I'm sorry. I have this cough. I'm trying to. Okay. I'm out yesterday. Everybody knows I play Pokemon. I'm letting it go. If you don't know, now you know I play Pokemon. So my buddy goes, sees a sign. He's a big marketplace seller. He resells a lot of stuff and this and that. He's driving. He goes, we're going to the art sale. I'm like, yeah, okay. I said, better have DVDs. He goes, oh, no, I've been to this guy before. He has DVDs. Guaranteed. I said, okay, I'll go. So we drive over this guy. I mean, it's not far from it's north of my house, but not, 20 minutes north. And I go, well, how much do you think these are? Because the guy and we get there, he has two tables just of DVDs.
Okay.
Full tables. He buys storage lockers. That's where they come from. So I go, my buddy goes, don't worry, they're cheap. He'll give them to you cheap. I'm like, how cheap? Like, I don't know. There's no prices on anything. So he shows me a sign. Look, you can buy all the DVDs I have for $100. I'm like, dude, I don't need that many DVDs. I just want. Got. So he goes, how many you got? I'm like, 23. He's like, no problem. $5 for all 23. A quarter each, less than a quarter.
Nice.
So people, I had a good day. Now you're going to see what I bought. Okay. So there's my story. That was a good story. And my buddy bought more, and I would have bought some of the ones he bought.
Okay.
Because he was in front of me. So this is what I picked up. These were all, that's what it cost me. $5.75 Canadian. I got Trinity.
Okay.
I've never seen California.
Okay. I saw that in college.
Rachel, I picked up something called Pendulum. I think I might have seen Death Ward, but I love Jean-Claude, so I'll watch
that
it again.
One in the theater. I think I did that too. One.
God's Gun and Cry Blood Apache with Levon Cliff and John McRae, two different movies. I've never heard of Fourth Protocol with Pierce Brosnan and Michael Caine.
I think I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Something called Heckler. My Name is Nobody and King Cutthroat. Oh, there's more. Just hold on. I have to keep copying these stuff. Kamikaze Taxi.
Okay.
Elite Squad. My buddy said I have to see this called Dark Blue with Kurt Russell. I've never heard of it.
I saw that 2 years ago. I watched it.
Snowbound with Doogie and Kelly Williams. Sorry, there's still more. I told you, this is a great find for me. And I would have had more if my buddy hadn't bought them. Daywatch. Hunting Season. Something called In America. Final Cut with Rob Williams, which I'm not sure I've ever seen.
I don't think I've seen that one either.
I think I thought I'd seen them all, but I don't know. Another one of these weird ones. Massacre at Fort Holman and Hot Lead. It's just got people in it I know. So, Life of Judy Garland, Me and My Shadows. And I love Judy Davis.
Okay.
I think it's such an underrated actress. And Mad Hot Ballroom. Can't go wrong with Mad Hot Ballroom.
I think I've heard of that one.
Who knows? Last Flight Out with James Earl Jones or Richard Crenna. Elvis and Annabelle, Max Minghella, Blake Lively, Joe Mantegna, Keith Carradine, and Mary Steenburgen. Early Blake Lively again, there it is. Curtis Jackson, Robert De Niro, and Forrest Whitaker, and Freelancers.
Never heard of that one.
And Heebie Jeebies, horror movie.
Okay.
So that's what cost me $5. Now, if that's not a good deal for $5, I don't know what is.
I would have paid $5 just for Death Warrant.
I thought you would have. I quarter each. Doug, nice. If my buddy was not in front of me, I would have had more.
Nice.
I would have had probably about another 10 movies. So I thought that was pretty good for $5.
Definitely.
So that's it, people. We are done. Expect Doug's list next show. And if they make it,
I will get it confused for Matchstick Men.